FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's October 24th, 2017. Almost done with October. Not your typical scary October so far, but we still have a week to go. Well, somebody who's been at this game for a long time, took over the torch from his dad and really runs an incredible organization. I'm talking about you, David McElvaney, and hey, had your dad on the show last time, but we're really thrilled to have you on now. And hey, by the way, any questions, comments, email us kl@kerrylutz.com. And we got a special free offer for you. So towards the end of the show, we'll talk about that. But David, welcome to the show.
Kerry, great to be with you. Thanks for the invite.
Hey, so economy, I mean, the stock market keeps going on. As we're speaking, it's up a couple hundred points today, and it looks like the void between Wall Street and the real economy just keeps on growing and getting bigger and bigger. How long can that go on for?
Well, you know, it's 2012 when fundamentals quit factoring into the move in the stock market. And, you know, summer of 2011, we had Mario Draghi heading the central bank in Europe, who said, "I'll do anything it takes." And the market took him seriously. And there was sort of a contagion across the world to say, look, if the banks are going to bail us out and spend any amount of money to keep this game going, then you got to get in, you got to play. And so we've had a disconnect, a fundamental disconnect from the economy and asset prices starting in 2012, really, to the present. Now, interestingly, right now we've got kind of some strong indications coming back in terms of economic stabilization and recovery. That's there. The numbers are improving. My question is it sustainable? Not growth in the economy, but how we got these asset prices to the place they are. Because frankly, it wasn't on the basis of fundamentals. It got here on the basis of debt being layered on top of so much debt. It was actually the cause of the global financial crisis circa 2008 and 2009. And all we did was add more of the same problem to the old deal. So I don't know that this is sustainable. You know, you look at certain ratios. I'm happy to talk turkey with you on the stock market today. But these are levels that, in some respects, we've never seen before. And so, you know, Wall Street has seen a decline. If you're looking at corporate America, S&P 500, you've seen a decline in revenues for 2 years now. And yet stock prices continue to move higher. They beat on an earnings per share basis. And there's all kinds of games that they've been playing for years on that front. But people don't care about the fact that your big Fortune 500 companies are making less money. Their sales are in decline. Their revenues are in decline, even as their share price goes up. Again, there's a disconnect here, Kerry. And I'm not sure maybe it's just a fundamental disconnect from common sense, but there's a disconnect at a lot of levels.
Well, Wall Street and common sense are distant cousins at the best of times. And certainly now, well, you already said what that's all about. So can it keep on going, though, is the question. And how long can it keep going?
That's the nature of any Ponzi scheme, Kerry. I think the big deal is how long can you keep confidence in the market? And, you know, all they did going back to 2008 and 2009 was capture all of the private sector liabilities, the things that were blowing up on bank balance sheets, the bad bets that had been made. And they basically got out the mop and picked all that stuff up and put it onto the balance sheet of the Federal Reserve. So, you know, they cleaned up the banking system, but they never got rid of the nastiness. It's still sitting there. It's just been kind of in a toxic hole tank. And, you know, how long can it go on? It can go on as long as people are willing to put confidence in the nature of this game. And it really is Ponzi finance. You know, at this point, we don't have enough in terms of tax revenues to pay our bills. That's been the case for a long time. That's how we have $20 trillion in debt. That's how in the last decade, we've more than doubled the debt, you know, from 10 to 20. And we'll do it again. We'll do it again because we don't know how to live within our means. And, you know, I think it lasts as long as people feel good. And as long as there's the art, magical art of redirection from the folks at the top to say, hey, everything's fine. Just don't worry about it. We've got our best people on it. Look at the number of PhDs who are solving these problems. And on the story goes. The way they tell it is so that you feel comfortable and safe and are going out there and doing your patriotic civic duty, spending every dime you have, because that's how they define stewardship, is spend every last nickel and some. And, you know, so as long as confidence is there, the game continues. But it is like a game of musical chairs. The music stops and everybody scrambles. So it's all happy until that moment. And I don't know that we can predict when that moment occurs.
Yeah. Well, if we could, obviously we could position ourselves perfectly for if and when it should occur. My own personal opinion is it's going to happen, just a matter of when. But yet, hasn't it gone on a lot longer than you ever expected, David?
Oh, sure. Yeah. No, I mean, the realities of you watching corporations make less and less money and their share price go up and watching insider selling at some of your biggest companies reach record levels. And you just go, they know there's a problem here. And they know that these are big systemic problems that they're not going to be solved while they're in the C-suite, while they're the CEO, CFO, COO. So they're doing what they can to get their money out. But yeah, it's gone on longer than I thought. Did you ever imagine that the Fed's balance sheet would jump from $800 billion to $4.5 trillion? You know, and who's to say they can't take it from $4.5 trillion to $10 trillion? They can do a lot more than we imagine they can do, but there is ultimately a cost to pay for it. And that cost, they don't have a way of calculating. Nobody does. But it's going to be discovered. The cost of all that they've done is going to be discovered in the context of reality breaking in again.
Mm-hmm. So reality ultimately will have its day, won't it?
Yeah, it will. I mean, it's like this. You know, how realistic is it for European debt? We're talking junk bonds to be this week registering a yield that is a return on investment of 2%. The U.S. 10-year Treasury is almost a half a point higher than that. Are you telling me that European junk bonds are a better bet than U.S. Treasuries? I mean, there are so many things that are absolutely cattywampus here. The fact that the Argentinian government, who have defaulted, I don't know, 13, 14 times in their 180, 190-year history, the Argentinian government issues bonds, and they've defaulted twice in the last 20 years.
Right.
They issue 100-year bonds. And people think that they actually had those bonds oversubscribed 3.5 times. It means that people in the market, Kerry, have lost their minds. They don't care. They just realize that they have needs and they're going to do what it takes to have their needs met. And here's what it boils down to. I need income and I am going to go get it wherever it's on offer. So the unintended consequence of the central banks lowering interest rates to the levels that they have is that everybody is scrambling for some form of income. And if they can't find it in a safe instrument, they'll take greater and greater risk to have their needs met. And when you force the issue and force the market to meet your needs and you're ignoring risk, when you're indifferent to risk, Kerry, it has never ended well when you ignore risk. And that's exactly what's happening today. People are forgetting that Argentina is going to default on that long before the 100 years passes. It'd probably be the next 5 years. I mean, come on. Yeah. At the rate they usually go, 5-10 years max. So who are the suckers stepping in?
The greater fool theory is alive and well, isn't
yep.
it?
Oh, you know it.
Yeah. So at some point, like you said, musical chairs, like everybody's going to be racing for the door and only a few people will be able to get out. David, we just need to take a break to hear a word from our sponsor here. ZipRecruiter. You've been in business. You know how difficult it is, Bix, to find good employees. It's time consuming. You got huge stacks of resumes you have to go through to find your perfect hire. But if you have the right tools, smarter tools, it becomes easy. And if your hiring could be easier, more streamlined, and less time consuming, so even when you're busy, you could still be smart about the way you hire, wouldn't you do it? If you're hiring, you know that quality hires keep your business moving forward, but you also know it can take a lot of time to find the right candidate for the job. If you're hiring, do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Like I said, finding the right person for the right job can be torture, but with ZipRecruiter, you can post your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards with just a click, so you can rest easy knowing your job is being seen by all the right candidates. Then ZipRecruiter puts its smart matching technology to work actively notifying qualified candidates about your job within just minutes of posting, so you receive the best possible matches. That's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other hiring sites, ZipRecruiter doesn't depend upon the right candidates finding you. It finds them for you. You can even get a head start on the interview process by adding screening questions to your job post to help identify the most qualified candidates, so you don't have to waste time sorting through a stack of resumes to find the perfect fit. Is it any wonder that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day or less? And the easy-to-use ZipRecruiter dashboard lets you manage your hiring process from start to finish in just one place. It's the smartest way to hire. ZipRecruiter. You need to find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by growing businesses of all sizes and industries to find the most qualified job candidates with near immediate results. And right now, you listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, I said free. Just go over to ZipRecruiter.com/Lutz and get started now. ZipRecruiter.com/Lutz. Remember, you have nothing to lose but your job vacancy. ZipRecruiter.com/Lutz. So, pretty amazing times, Bix, for sure. But you all knew that already. So who's going to be waiting at the exits, David? That's my question. Are all the in-the-money, smart-money people going to be waiting there?
They'll be the ones who are already standing at the threshold already.
Like the insiders.
Yeah, I think that the unappreciated bottleneck here is Carrie, over the last decade, we've seen a massive shift away from managed money. This would be mutual funds. This would be, you know, a broker who's helping you with asset allocations. And it's moved towards an unmanaged universe. You know, some people call it passive investing. It's better described as an unmanaged asset class. When you buy an exchange-traded fund, you're buying a basket of stocks. You're buying an index that gives you representation of the entire shoot and match, and you buy it because you think it's cheap and that's the best way to handle it. What you don't appreciate is that it's not structured like a mutual fund is, which with a cash cushion. It's not being, you know, rebalanced in the same way that an actively managed portfolio would. And honestly, I understand the shift. I get it. We're in the money management business. You can't differentiate yourself in a world where central banks are running the show. There's no way to prove extra value and earn what they call extra alpha in a world where central banks are floating all boats. Very difficult to differentiate yourself. And the problem is this. This goes back to the bottleneck, right? Because you said at some point they're going to sell. And at some point, they're going to be looking for the exits. And what people don't realize is that we've moved to a universe of rules-based management. You've got close to $4 trillion, which are in quantitative hedge funds and exchange-traded funds. And when something changes, it could be something as simple as a headline or a tweet from the president, these rules-based systems trade off of computer-generated algorithms, and they buy and sell like there's no tomorrow. Mm. And the thing is, there's no market makers like there used to be. There's no market. I know this is getting way into the weeds, but I think it's worth people appreciating the fact that fundamental shifts started occurring in 2001. And then when we put in the Volcker rule just a few years ago, another fundamental shift was that the profit motive of Wall Street to inventory stocks when you want to sell them went away completely. So we have gutted the market maker function within the stock market. So you think that you can sell on any day you want and there's someone on the other side to buy it. Good luck with that thesis, because in a normal market, it's true. But in an abnormal market, we're going to see exactly what we did in the spring of 2010, where a company's selling at $34 a share, and 1 second later, the bid, that is, what someone is willing to pay for it, is a penny. Wow. A penny.
A penny, huh?
Why? Because the market maker is gone and everything is computer generated, and we're now in a completely rules-based management system with $4 trillion sitting there, ready to be moved one way or the other, and there's no human element in it, Carrie. There's no human element in it, which means the automatic nature, we like it when it goes up. Everybody's happy to watch the stock market march higher for no good reason. What's it going to be like when it's moving lower and you can't figure out why? It's moving lower for no good reason.
Yeah, that's a little bit scary. So it's kind of like the stock market, just like every other section of the American economy, has moved to a just-in-time inventory system. There's no slack in the system to take it up. It's like you go to the airport to catch a plane. If that plane gets canceled or your flight gets interrupted for some reason, there's no more planes extra seating to accommodate you, and you'll have to get out to get to your destination when you get to your destination.
That's exactly right. And the no slack in the system is a great way of thinking about it. I mean, if you've ever driven a car with a really tight wheel, you know, it's great if you're a race car driver, but you can overcorrect very, very dramatically. And I personally like a steering column that's got a little play in it, and you can kind of just amble down the roadway. And if you hit a bump, it's not like you go flying off the road into the ditch. You know, but we have a system that, you know, look, I love technology. I'm not saying that there haven't been massive benefits, and the Volcker Rule did clean up some bit of Wall Street, but it also laid the foundation for the next financial crisis. We have the foundation for the next financial crisis already here, and it's codified in the Volcker Rule. And it is this world in which there's no slack. There's no slack. Somebody hits the sell button, boom, there's an immediate impact. And we don't have the same market makers who are in the market in every generation of bear markets up to this point. So we are in a brave new world, Kerry. A brave new world. We have no idea what this looks or feels like, except that you can count on one thing. The world's central banks will step in to save the system again. And you know what we're going to do when we are absolutely freaked out by the free fall in the markets? We're going to ask them to save the system, and we don't care. We won't care what the cost is.
Yeah.
And so now we shift to politics. This is the devolution of democracy. We're devolving. We're not evolving. We're devolving because in the end, we want safety.
So we trade the integrity of markets, free markets, for security, just like was ascribed to Jefferson, that when people give up freedom for security, they'll have neither.
You got it. You got it. It's all interconnected.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know, we've been heading down this road, this highway to hell, for a long time, and we always seem to not quite get there. It's kind of like in Scientology, to use a bad analogy, but one nonetheless, that somehow if you get to the next level in Scientology, then you're going to figure out exactly what life is all about, and all that money, you know, your life savings that you put in there you'll finally realize the return on that investment, and yet it never happens.
It's you know, you look at the backdrop, and you know, we live here in Durango, Colorado. We've been in the precious metals business for 45 years. It's our 45th anniversary. It's a second generation family business, and you know, being in the metals business, we're paid to look for what can go wrong, because essentially metals are like an insurance product, if you will. Things go poorly, and gold tends to do well. Look at the decade where stocks went sideways to down, basically the year 2000 to 2010, 2012. Mm-hmm. You know, your S&P returns, your Dow, your NASDAQ returns were abysmal, and gold was cranking out 12% a year. It's beautiful, but that's what it does. When things aren't working normally, it works overtime. All I'm trying to say is we look for instability, not because we love instability, but because our job is to understand and appreciate risk and its implications to portfolios and help people hedge their portfolios. I ski in the wintertime. Here in the Four Corners, we have more avalanche activity than any other place in America because we have beautiful mountains. They're pristine, they're jagged, they're steep, and that's what a skier loves, steep and deep. Deep powder, steep pitch, and let her rip. The problem is you're playing with danger whenever you're outside, and you have to look at the context with great appreciation and understand that if you ever ignore it, it may take your life. And so we look at risk in the marketplace in a similar way. I don't know what the trigger would be, and frankly, almost don't care. Is it gravity? Is it a cyber hit? Is it Korea? Is it, you know, the slow death of democracy that we were just talking about? Is it a crack in the stock market that causes a complete financial catastrophe? It frankly doesn't matter, because if you're the guy who's out there skiing in the backcountry, it doesn't matter if a bird flies overhead and poops at the top of the hill and the whole thing goes, or if you were the trigger, or if a snowmobile at the bottom of it. You know what? It doesn't matter. You have to appreciate the unstable layers in the snowpack, and you have to appreciate that it may not be your lucky day.
Yeah.
And act accordingly. I just think people need to do the same thing with their finances. This may not be your lucky day. And the instability factor is already there. The context is already set. Don't fixate on what may be the cause, because it doesn't matter. You see this all the time, Carrie. You turn on CNBC and they'll say, oh, well, the stock market is up 200 points and here's why. They don't have a clue.
Of course not.
They don't have a clue. It's all guesswork, right? So you just look at the context and you say, is this a period in time where we should be playing with our life savings? Are we buying value? Or are we doing what you alluded to earlier, playing the fool, the greater fool theory game? I'd have to say the latter at this point. Value. We've got a bull market in everything. We've got a bubble in everything.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah, it's shocking to think that we could get to this point where markets are no longer serving their true function on Wall Street. You know, once upon a time, remember what they taught you in economics, that the purpose of Wall Street was to allocate capital and doing that by allocating risk. And now, I don't know what Wall Street is exactly. It seems like a giant wish fulfillment machine that really has no connection to its underlying historic purposes.
If you remove risk from the equation, which theoretically they've tried to do by lowering interest rates to zero, then what you turn Wall Street into is nothing but a casino in which everything on Wall Street is speculation. Everything. And that's a tough environment to play in. I mean, everyone's playing for returns. Everyone is also ignoring the implicit risks. And the underlying assumption is, just as Mario Draghi said in 2011, the summer when things were falling apart in Greece and they were restructuring the finances of Cyprus and, you know, everything was melting down. So we'll do anything. We will do whatever it takes to keep the system in place. And we feel like we could ignore risk as if we have superhumans or demigods somehow guarding the system from decline. We don't realize that they're not in control. Carrie, I know you know this. The older you get, you realize there's a lot of things you don't know. And there's a lot of things you thought you had control over that you really don't. That's just life. That's life. And it's like they didn't get the memo. The central bank community didn't get the memo. They're convinced that A, they know everything, and B, they can, if they sort of stand on one leg and pat their bellies and rub their heads, they can hold the sun, moon, and stars in place. They are demigods, and they can do anything. It's just mind-boggling. And we follow through with belief that they are some sort of, you know, well, enlightened beings. I don't know.
But masters of the universe. Right.
If somebody has a PhD, you defer. Oh, well, you must know more than I do. And it goes back to that checking common sense at the door. We lost common sense a long time ago and prefer PhDs who, as they classically say, know more and more about less and less until they know absolutely everything about absolutely nothing. These are the people who are running the show.
God, yeah. Yeah, well, that's what our educational system, higher ed, has become about, less and less, more and more about less and less, and couldn't agree with you more. David, you got an offer for FSN members out there, right?
We do. You know, my dad, you had him on the program some time ago, October. His McIlvaine Intelligence Advisor newsletter, he's been writing that for over 40 years. We've been in business for 45. He's been writing that, I think, for 41 years. And he brings a really interesting insight to the markets. He'll look at gold. He'll look at cryptocurrencies. He'll look at all kinds of things in that October letter. The general markets, you know, sort of the changes that we see structurally, and I think it'd be very helpful for folks. You can have the October issue for free if you'd like, and they can either click on a link on your site or go to icagoldcompany.com/radio. Right. I'll just repeat that, icagoldcompany.com/radio.
All right. Hey, and you can always email us at kl@carrylutz.com if you want to get link or got any questions for David or myself. And don't forget our Twitter feeds @CarrieLutz and the Facebook page Financial Survival Network and our site's financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Make sure you sign up for our newsletter. Hey, David, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Thanks for sharing your wisdom, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Look forward to it, Carrie. Have a great day.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.